Blessings be with you all. Ladies and gentlemen, I will read out the political agreement that will be signed immediately after being read out to you. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, the Merciful, political agreement. As we have felt the hovering danger over our country and the threats to the transitional period, and in the wake of the continued conflict among the political forces undermining our country's unity and stability, and since all the initiatives have failed to address the recent political impasse, which led the Armed Forces Chief Commander to take certain measures on the 25th of October last. And considering that the political crisis requires a great deal of wisdom and sense of patriotic responsibilities, therefore, both the parties to this document have pledged to work together to restore the democratic course and to serve the country's national interest, and also to avoid plunging into the unknown or harming the country's unity, peace, or security, and in order to complete the transitional period until we reach an elected civil government, which cannot be achieved in the absence of harmony among all the political forces, the youth, women, resistance committees, the nomad, the displaced, and the refugees. And in order to exit the current political crisis, and on the basis of the resolution made by the Armed Forces Chief Commander, it is agreed upon the following. It is agreed and emphasized that the 2019 constitutional document, as amended in 2020, shall form the basis for completing the transitional period, taking into consideration the special status of the eastern part of the Sudan, which should be addressed within a national context to maintain our territorial integrity and ensure peace and security satisfactory to fellow Sudanese in the east. Second, the said constitutional document shall be amended under mutual agreement to ensure the inclusion of all the parties with the exception of the former ruling party, the National Congress. Third, the existing civil-military power sharing during the current transitional period is a linchpin to Sudan's security and stability. Such partnership should be maintained under strict commitment to forming a civil technocratic government. Fourth, the Interim Sovereignty Council shall continue to oversee the transition as envisaged under Article 8 of the constitutional document without intervention in the executive process. Fifth, power shall be transferred as scheduled to an elected civilian government. Six, the transitional period shall be governed by a political declaration defining the manner of power sharing and partnership among all the parties, the military, civil forces, provincial administrations, the youth, women, revolutionaries, and the religious dignitaries. Seventh, the recent incident that took place during protests, including death and injuries of both military and civilians, should be under investigations and all found guilty should be brought to justice and tried before courts. Eighth, the Juba Agreement for Peace shall be put into force and all the non-signatory parties shall join. Ninth, to speed up reinstating the state institutions by way of forming the Legislative Council, the Constitutional Court, and also appointing the Chief Justice and Chief Prosecutor. Other institutions shall be formed or reinstated immediately within specific time limits. Tenth, a national dialogue, inclusive and transparent, shall be initiated encompassing all the political, societal, and revolutionary forces as a step towards forming the constitutional conference. 11th, it is agreed upon the necessity to restructure the committee responsible for disbanding and eliminating the remnants of the former regime, and the relevant professionals and experts be brought forward to enable such committee to perform effectively and justly, and to have its decisions reviewed and appealed in accordance with the law. 12. All political detainees shall be released. 13. Efforts shall be exerted towards forming a one uniform and unified national army. 14. By way of signing this political agreement, the decision made by the chief command of the armed forces relieving the interim prime minister from office shall be reversed. Signed by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, chairman of the Sovereignty Council, and Dr. Abdullah Hamdouk, the interim prime minister. The document ends, and now it's time for signing ceremony.
الحضور الكريم الآن مع كلمة الدكتور عبد الله آدم حمدوك رئيس مجلس الوزراء الانتقالي فليتفضل مشكورا.
Ladies and gentlemen, now we give the floor to Dr. عبد الله حمدوك, the interim prime minister.
مجلس السيادة الانتقالي سيد نائب رئيس المجلس أعضاء المجلس قيادات العمل التنفيذي والشعبي والسياسي الحضور الكريم
The name of Allah, the Almighty, the Merciful. Chairman of the Sovereignty Council, the Deputy Chairman, members of the Council, leaders of the executive, popular and political forces, ladies and gentlemen, may God's peace and blessings be upon you all. Glory and mercy to the fallen martyrs, the fallen, the martyrs of the revolution who made this moment possible. I should begin saying that our country, the Sudan, is guarded and preserved by of restoring our country back on course. The most glorious moment following that of the independence was then when we came together, united in October 1964, April 1985, and December 2018, when I then accepted the designation as an interim prime minister. I realized that the road was not strewn with roses. It would be a daunting task, fraught by risks and dangers. However, by joining hands, we can all reach a peaceful shore. We can all prevent our country from plunging into the unknown. We should all come together to let the people decide who will take and hold the reins of power. Signing this framework political agreement will open doors to address all the pending issues of the transitional period over the past 2 years. And under this partnership, we have managed to achieve a lot. We brought back Sudan into the, within the international community, lifted its name from the terrorist blacklist, and many other achievements. However, we still have many challenges laying ahead. but by our unity and strong will, we can march forward. As I sign this document, I am guided by four basic principles. One, we must put an end to bloodshed. I know our people are capable of sacrificing. However, each drop of blood is precious. Let's put an end to the bloodbath, and let's spare each and every drop of blood. This agreement will break the tension and take us through the bottleneck. We will restore the democratic course until we achieve permanent and lasting democracy. Also, this document paves the way for all of us to maintain and preserve the achievements we had over the past 2 years, whether in peace or in economy. This is a very important point to bear in mind. Third, this agreement will fortify our efforts towards a civil democratic transformation.
Over the past
coming years, we know that there are many honest men within our neighborhood and within the regional and international community. We thank all those who lent a helping hand, and we are prepared to work together to march forward. Thank you once again, and may God's peace and blessings be upon you all. Now, we give the floor to General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Abdurrahman, the chairman of the Sovereignty Council and the chief commander of the armed forces. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, the Merciful. I salute you, my fellow countrymen, in each and every corner of the country. You deserve all appreciation. You set examples of sacrifice and fortitude. I salute you as you honor your revolution. I salute you as you defend your revolution. And this moment represents a clear defense of the revolution. We salute all who have made efforts for preserving this moment. And also, we extend all appreciation to all our brothers and friends who stood by our side since the beginning of this political crisis. It has been long, and today we believe by signing this political document, we are paving the way for a true democratic transitional period, as pictured by ourselves and by the people, and as what you envisaged at the beginning of April 2019. We thank all the Sudanese people and all the efforts and sacrifices made by our fellow Sudanese. We are adamant to remain united, remain harmonious, and it is our custom to have our own differences resolved amongst ourselves. I also extend all thanks and appreciation to those who have been exerting maximum efforts following October 25th. They have been working day and night to have this crisis resolved. Many of our friends were acting as intermediary and exerting all maximum efforts, including Dr. Hamdouk himself. The political impasse that was in the past made it necessary for me to take action on the transition and take the actions I had taken in the past. Once again, I extend all thanks to Dr. Abdullah Hamdouk. He has always the subject of our confidence and respect. Meanwhile, we are aware of all the sacrifices made by all the Sudanese people, and in order to end and preserve any drop of blood, we will continue to work towards preserving the transitional period until all your dreams of democracy, peace, and justice are achieved. We, over the past 5 or 6 days, a group among ourselves have been maximum efforts, including our brother Abdurrahim Hamdan, who has done all in his power, together with his brothers. All the credit goes to them for reaching this agreement, and we believe that this will pave the way for a totally and complete transitional period. We and no party will be excluding, with the exception of the former ruling party, the National Congress. We will give the floor and room to all the political forces to take part in the process. And once again, I extend all thanks and appreciation to my fellow Sudanese and pray to God Almighty to accept in His mercy the fallen martyrs. And I pray, finally, that God will guide our steps forward, to march forward until we reach a transparent, democratic election and peacefully and safely cross towards total civilian government and total democracy. Thank you to all behind this, namely Dr. Abdullah Hamdouk, who was not far from us. He has been close, he has been patient with us, and with him we have reached to this moment. Thank you to you all.
You're watching Al Jazeera. We're in Sudan, where an agreement's just been reached and signed to reinstate deposed leader Abdullah Hamdok as prime minister. We've been hearing from General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who led the military takeover of the Sovereignty Council, as it was just a few months ago, and saw the ousting of Abdullah Hamdok as prime minister just, as I say, a few weeks ago. Prior to that, we heard from Abdullah Hamdok himself, who has been returned as Prime Minister of Sudan. I want to bring in Marwan Bushara, who is our senior political analyst. Marwan, you've been following this story for a long time. Let's just talk about what the two gentlemen were saying there, first of all. What stood out for you?
Well, first of all, there are no prepared remarks. I mean, a lot of it seems to be improvised in a way. Two, the importance of the event is the event itself. Nothing that was said was that important. It seems to me what was not said is more important than what was said, which is, how did we get here? It seems like both leaders wanted at every cost to avoid talking about what just went down the last few weeks. General Burhan, apparently, again, improvising, just said that, well, I had to do what I had to do because there was a political impasse that I need to take care of. Does that really justify a putsch of that nature that we saw? Of course not. There's a bit of surrealism to the event, I must say. Because as you said, following this thing over the past few weeks at least, not to say months and years, clearly the general, no longer smug as he was a few weeks ago after the coup, has basically backtracked on everything. How did he backtrack? Why did he backtrack? Under what pressure? Is it the pressure of the street? Is it the pressure of the international community? Is it the pressure of his own allies in the region? Of course, we're not really sure. I can analyze that, but we're not really sure. So clearly, both leaders wanted to move forward. So Prime Minister Hamdok, and I was a bit surprised by his, light remarks about what has gone down, and basically saying, look, let's move forward, let's end the bloodshed. I think, of course, that's a very responsible statement from the Prime Minister. I'm not sure whether the street is listening or will be listening, because clearly, for most people on the street of Sudan, like a lot of us observers, will be asking the question, what guarantees are there that the military are going to respect this agreement? Certainly, they did not respect the last one.
Mm. Let's talk about the reaction on the streets, because obviously earlier on we were seeing crowds of people. We're being told it was thousands, but we don't know how many thousands. And in comparison to the size of a city like Khartoum, and certainly a country like Sudan, that could make a significant difference. But Abdullah Hamdok said, we must put an end to the bloodshed, as you mentioned. Do you think this is going to be enough to satisfy the people who've been out on the streets?
Well, look, one of the most important things I have to say about this, as an observer, as an analyst, is that this is a situation in flux. This is an evolving situation. This is an event that is part of a process. We are now in the midst of the process. I do not... From my experience looking at situations like that, I do not believe this is the end of this story. Absolutely not. So clearly, the Prime Minister, maybe he got some assurances from somewhere, whether it is from Washington, Paris, Cairo, or I don't know where, that you need to start moving forward. And as we move forward, we try to figure out what to do. Because I think it was I can't remember exactly which point is it, but I think it was probably point... six or seven that said something about that we're going to be looking at the transition as we move forward. Mm. Mm. So this is definitely going to be an evolving situation depending on the balance of power. And in this sense, straight to your question, the street is going to have a lot of weight. And clearly the street had a lot of influence over the last few weeks. The bloodshed did not come from the street, of course. The bloodshed mostly come from the security forces. One of the most incredible things about what happened in Sudan over the past 2 years is that this has been, in its essence, a peaceful revolution. What we saw in 2019 and in 2020, and what we've seen just the last few days, are Sudanese basically going out with their own bare bodies, trying to protect their achievement, their revolution. And the military was basically squared. So once again, I would say the following. There is a pressure from the street, but there's also, and I must underline that, because it's important to talk about other issues when we underline that, whether when the international community wants to put pressure, the pressure works. When the United States, when Europe, when the African Union put pressure on the military in Sudan, it worked. So when we look at other situations, let's say, I don't know, Tunisia, for example, or other places in the Middle East, clearly international pressure coupled with popular pressure does bear fruit. And the 180 degrees reversal by the general of Sudan is a testimony that nonviolent popular pressure works, that the international community has a role to play, that the likes of the United States that says that we put human rights and democracy at the center of our foreign policy, when they actually deliver on that, there are results, as we've seen today in Khartoum. Mm.
Marwan, stay with me. I want to speak to Samahir al-Mubarak. She's a spokeswoman for the Sudanese Professionals Association. I believe she's joining us now on the line from Khartoum. Thank you very much indeed for being with us. I don't know if you had a chance to hear either of the speeches that were being made at the signing ceremony. I just want to ask you what you made of what was going on.
Well, for us, any step that's going to keep the military in power, that's going to keep the military having a political role, is totally refused. Sudanese people have been out on the streets stating that we want the military back in the barracks. This is what we have been saying since October the 25th. It's the voice of the people that's going to make the difference. All these agreements and everything that's still going to keep the military in power is, for us, totally off no regard, We are now out on the streets. There are protests all over Sudan. And for us, this is totally refused. Mm-hmm. This is not going to put an end to bloodshed, because if it would have put an end to bloodshed, it would have done that in August 2019. The bloodshed after August 2019 proved that the military is not to be trusted for the security or the lives of the Sudanese people. For us, we stated it clear. We want the military out of the political life in Sudan. We will not recognize and we will not deal. And all the negotiations and what has resulted out of it for us is absolutely of no regard.
If the military does not step down in the way that you would like, if this is the situation in Sudan going forward, what would you want to see from the transitional council as it is at the moment, with Abdullah Hamdok as prime minister, with the general Abdel Fattah al-Burhan at its head? What would you want to see from them as, if you like, a gesture of good faith, an indication that they are prepared to try to move the situation forward?
First, there is no gesture of good faith after the bloodshed. This is what's done. It's done. We want the lives of the 40 martyrs that have died in the past months to come back. Can they offer that? This is a gesture of good faith. Why the coup from the beginning? If we're going to go back to where we stopped, to the partnership, for us now it's high time that we move on to complete civilian rule in Sudan. If they want to give us a gesture of good faith, give us back the lives of the 40 martyrs that we've lost in the past 20 days. Give us back the health of the injured and all what we have gone through in the past month. This military coup and this combination that we have seen is a failed combination. It's not to be trusted. We do not want the military in the political life in Sudan anymore. This partnership for us is done. It's just collapsed, totally collapsed, and there is no way of reforming it. Mm.
There is obviously going to be a period during which people are going to be waiting to see what the next move of this transitional council as it exists at the moment will be. How long do you think people in Sudan are prepared to wait before their patience runs out?
Well, this revolution has been ongoing for the past 3 years. I think we have a lot of patience, and we have a lot of patience and will. Our will is beyond that we go back right now, and there's so much bloodshed that has taken place for us to step back now. It's not that simple. And apart from that, we have deemed this entire coup and whatever has resulted out of it illegitimate for us. At the end of the day, it's what the people of Sudan want. And we have continued this fight, and we will continue this struggle until we realize our complete transition, our complete civilian transition. And we have stated it clear. We went out in 2018 against the dictatorship. For us, all the signs that we have seen in the past month, in the past 20-plus days, have shown that there is no way that we can trust the military to be part of the power again. We cannot trust the military to not retaliate on the activists, on the political leaders. It's for us a matter of being or not being anymore. Mm. And I believe, and we have proven, that we are willing to go long, however long it takes. Setbacks, we've always come back, and we're very diligent and we're very determined that we want this transformation to take place. Mm. And we want this transformation to take out all militarization of the political and civil life in Sudan out of the picture. This is the only way that we can transform into a complete democracy, is by washing out the military. We've given the military enough time to step back. It came to the table with the fact that it's going to provide security. It failed at that. It came to the table with the fact that it's going to be a guard of the transition, and it failed twice in doing that. It failed in the massacre of June 3rd in 2019, and again it failed on October the 25th in 2021. There is no third chance. We know that enough is enough.
I was talking to Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, Marwan Bishara. He was describing in his assessment that this had been, to all intents and purposes, a peaceful revolution. It had been a series of peaceful protests. What violence there had been, he said, had come from the side of the military. If the people on the streets are not getting what they want from this structure of this transitional council, how far do you think people are prepared to go to change things?
The most unique thing about the movement in Sudan is that it's peaceful. The most we have come to a realization that this theme of peaceful protest, of peaceful demonstration, however long it takes, is where we all win at the end. If we slip into violence, we know the cost of violence. We've seen that. We've experienced civil wars before. We've experienced the separation in our country before. And we know how high that cost is. And that's why we know that despite the violence coming from the military side and from the security side, the different security forces in power, yes, we know that the cost of peaceful demonstrations is much lower than slipping into violence. And we are all very well aware of that. And that's the secret ingredient of our continuation and of the stamina of the Sudanese revolution.
Samir El-Mubarak, we appreciate you joining us on Al Jazeera. Ma'am, thank you very much indeed for your time. Well, the agreement we've just seen signed comes after weeks of violent scenes in Khartoum and other parts of the country. Sudan's military and civilian leaders had been sharing power since longtime leader Omar al-Bashir was removed from office in 2019. But in the months that followed, both sides blamed each other for slow reforms, a worsening economic crisis and corruption that's led to big divisions in the transitional government. The situation got worse last month after General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan dissolved the interim government and detained civilian leaders. Now, in the past few minutes, the newly reinstated Prime Minister, Abdallah Hamdok, spoke at the presidential palace on ways to take the country forward.
When I first accepted the designation as interim prime minister, I realized the road was not strewn with roses. It would be a daunting task brought by risks and danger. However, by joining hands, we can all reach a peaceful place. We can all prevent our country from plunging into the unknown. We should all come together to let these people decide who will take and hold the reins of power.
Okay, I want to bring in Al Jazeera's senior political analyst again, Marwan Bishara. He's been with us on set through all of this. We heard Samir El-Mubarak saying that really the only solution is one that allows us to all win in the end. But given the circumstances, given what we're hearing, that seems like a long way off.
Yes, as I said, we are in a situation that's evolving. We are in a flux. And I don't think what we heard today is the last word. If anything, everything we heard today is so vague that it opens up different doors to different possible scenarios. Mm-hmm. But clearly now, what we've seen today in the last few days is now the momentum is on the side of the street. The momentum now is on the side of the civilian component of the establishment in Sudan. Clearly, the generals are on the defensive. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done this really embarrassing 180 degrees reversal of their position. Clearly, there is pressure from the street. Clearly, there is pressure from the international community. Clearly, there is an important, indispensable pressure from the African neighbors, from the African Union. And all of that is important. I just need to underline two issues. One, that the military has been, the military generals in particular I'm talking about, they are part of the old regime. I mean, let's not fool ourselves about that. They broke away from al-Bashir when they realized that there was such a momentum in 2019 that they said they're going to join the civilian forces. Two, generals in this case, they said they are going to make the change and they led the putsch under the name of democracy. No democracy is made through military coup the way we've seen in Sudan. Three, I think it's important to note, to underline even, that the last year or so, it was the military, it was the generals who were in charge on the over the economic policies and decision-making, not the civilian government. So clearly, if there are any troubles in Sudan over the last year, economic and otherwise, it's the responsibility of the military council, not the government. Two, I think what we've seen from the government was some important achievements in breaking out of the international isolation, bringing Sudan back into the fold, and allowing Sudan to get hold of over $2 billion of foreign aid, $700 million of which was frozen when the coup d'etat happened. So clearly the generals are on the defensive. Clearly the generals have been mistaken. Clearly the generals in their assessment that this could go through if they could only maintain power for a few days and change some of the decor in the Sovereignty Council, that everything will be okay. Everything is not okay. As we've heard from the activists in Khartoum, and that's very important, that after 10, 11 years of Arab uprisings, Arab revolutions, so on and so forth, clearly the example of Sudan is turning out to be an example to follow, in the sense that people power, peaceful, on the street, more pressure and more pressure and more pressure, and try to bring as many parties together as possible in building coalition is the way forward, not only in Sudan, but in the region in general.
Mm. Well, just bear with me for a second, because I want to talk to Resul Selder. He's talking to us live now from Khartoum at the presidential palace where that signing took place. Resul, what kind of atmosphere was there when the signing was taking place? And tell us who was there, but perhaps more importantly, who was not there?
Well, the atmosphere was quite tense here. And even symbolically, you can see that there were three men just sitting in front of the camera to sign a new agreement. And two of them are the members of the military. And even we can say one of them member of the military, and the other one is the head of a strong paramilitary group in Sudan, which is called the Rapid Support Forces, Mr. Hemeti himself. So we can see that the balance of this new agreement is quite in favor of the military, and that is heavily affected and dominated by the military. And we could see that in today, Mr. Hamdouk was not quite happy about it, but it was rather a step that taken based on the feeling of the responsibility. And also during Mr. Abdul Fattah al-Burhan's speech, also we have seen that he has thanked Mr. Hamdouk several times, and underlining that that great achievement has been made through the negotiations and also based on Mr. Hamdouk's goodwill. However, here there are lots of uncertainties. The people that we are talking to here, the people who are close to Mr. Abdullah Hamdouk, and also even to the Sovereignty Council, they said that there are several uncertainties in this agreement. We can see that the constitutional declaration is still going to be the base for the transitional period. However, the constitutional declaration that has been signed is going to be amended also under the mutual agreement for the inclusion of all parties. We do not know what are going to be the points of this new agreement. And the power sharing between the army and the civilians is still the backbone of this agreement. And the Sovereignty Council is still going to be in charge of overseeing all of the decisions during this transitional period, which gives a tremendous amount of power to the army over the government of technocrats led by Abdullah Hamdouk. And also, the power shall be transferred to a civilian government as scheduled, but however, it's not clear what is going to be the schedule, what's going to be the date of a fair and free election. For now, in a previous interview that I had conducted with Mr. Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, he said that the election is going to be taking place in 2023. However, in this new agreement, the date is not specified. And also, a new political declaration is going to be defined and announced later, and that is going to define the manners of power sharing and the partnership of all of the parties. So that's also still not clear. And the political detainees are going to be released. That is one thing that is clear and all parties are agreeing on. And that was one of the main conditions of the international community, from the USA, European Union, and the United Nations as well. The Juba Peace Agreement is going to be in place, and also also be implemented. The Legislative Council and the and new formation of the Constitutional Court is one of the items among the agreement. The lack of a constitutional court in the country is regarded as one of the failure of the previous government, and that is quite important because the country now officially doesn't have any constitutional court. An all-inclusive dialogue that is going to be initiated to encompassing all the political and societal forces is a message definitely to the streets, because as of now, as this agreement is signed, we can see that people are still protesting. While getting into the presidential palace, when the security forces let us to get in the presidential palace, we could see that thousands of people are in front of the presidential palace and chanting and saying they reject this agreement. And even many of them were saying that they feel that Abdullah Hamdok is betraying them. We do not know whether this agreement is going to ease the tension in the street, de-escalate the situation in the country or not. But as of now, there are still protests, and police are using tear gas and shooting in the air to disperse them, to remove them from the streets, particularly in front of the presidential palace. And also another important item of this agreement is the investigation that shall be initiated on the recent deaths and injuries. That's also one of the main conditions of the international community to investigate the deaths and the killings that have been realized through the last protests during these violent confrontations. And Mr. Hamdok also has been very much clear on that the bloodshed in Sudan must stop. And also forming a new dismantling body also is going to be important, like reshaping and reformating. That also is going to be quite important, because the dismantling committee has been formed to remove the elements of the previous regimes from the system. And now there will be some amendments in that as well. And their fear are that this new committee, appointed members being appointed by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, could bring back the old regime's elements as well. Mm.
Russell, obviously a very complicated set of agreements. We're going to have to wait to see how that pans out over the coming weeks and months. For now, Russell Serdar in Khartoum, thank you very much indeed. I want to go to Khalil Khayar. She's the managing partner of the think tank Insight Strategy Partners. She's joining us by Skype from Khartoum. We've been talking to her throughout this process. Given what we have heard in the signing of the agreement, is there anything there at all that gives you any optimism?
It's tough to say at the moment. This does seem like a massive compromise. And we know, of course, that the Prime Minister is a compromiser. And they have managed to isolate him during his households from his political incubator, but also from the street. And so I'm dismayed, but not surprised, that he was sort of pushed into this position. I mean, looking at the footage from the signing today, he did seem to be still very much the hostage that he was until this morning. The street has not been happy. I think that's and it continues to show its dismay at any sort of power sharing agreement between the civilians and the military, because indeed that was what they called for. It wasn't merely about the release of Hamdok and the release of political prisoners. It was a much more larger conversation about what Sudan's political future looks like. And frankly, it's not this. And so, you know, we've seen several terms of this agreement being brought out, but there are still some questions. For example, the Sovereign Council that was set up after the coup, there was very little mention of the contents of that Sovereign Council. It has been filled by members of the NCP regime and Islamists of other shades. And there's nothing yet to indicate what will happen to those members. So there are still lots of questions that need to be answered.
Khalil Khayar, we appreciate you being with us at Al Jazeera throughout all this. But for now, thank you very much indeed. Marwan Bashara, Al Jazeera's senior political analyst. Final word from you. It seems as though we're entering into a waiting phase now. And the question is, as we were talking about earlier, how long the patience of the people in Sudan is going to last?
Well, judging from the past 2 years, it's clearly they are patient. And clearly what we hear from reports on the ground is that they are willing to really wait it out, if you will. But I think also the military is more than capable of waiting everything out, as we know, in the region. But now what we're talking about is not the removal of the military. What we're talking about, the generals in politics, how far can they go? How much of an influence should they have? And here, and I just want to sort of take what our correspondent said in Khartoum, because I think what he said is very important. But I think there are two ways of looking at what you saw today. One is take a still picture of it. If you take a still picture, you will see two generals and one civilian. The general is very confident still, as is, and the prime minister is a bit, the civilian is a bit shaken, right? So if you take that still picture and you listen to what they said, clearly the military still have the upper hand. But if you look at the video, if you look at more of a moving event, you'll see that the prime minister was under house arrest just a few days ago, that there was a coup d'etat, that they thought they're going to get away with it, that they were remaking the council and they were going to make a new government. And suddenly, things switched. So if you look at the movement, not just at the still picture, you will see that perhaps the military is still smug about certain things, but clearly the momentum is not moving in their direction, especially if the international pressure continues and if the street pressure continues as well. Because at the end of the day, the last month has been a total fiasco for the military. Why? Because they did what they did, and suddenly they had to do 180 degrees return. That doesn't mean that the prime minister is suddenly the ruler of the land, but what it means is that there is a momentum suddenly not in favor of the generals, but rather in the favor of the street. But as you said, we will see where will this take us, because there are a number of dynamics at play here. There's the military, there's the street, there is the neighbors and the African Union, and there's the international community.
Mohamed Bashara, Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, as always. Mohamed, thank you very much indeed. We've been in Sudan. An agreement's just been reached and signed to reinstate Abdullah Hamdok as the new prime minister, or the returning prime minister, of Sudan. He was ousted nearly a month ago when the military seized power, and that led to weeks of protests and unrest across the nation.